Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Good evening, everyone. How are we all? I want to talk about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Who wants to talk about warfare? I love the ripping power of this gospel. Why is it that seven sons of Sceva, the demons turn around to the seven sons and they say, Jesus we know. Paul, we've heard of. Who are you? You see, there are some demons that may have never heard of me. Jesus we know. Paul, we've heard of. But who are you? I love that. See, that ripping power. I tell you, I've seen demons come out of people. I've seen demonic attacks in my own personal life, thrown into the bed by Satan, choked, gripped me by the neck. And I'm just going to tell this testimony. I don't know why I'm going down this road, but let it go. I've been choked, and I opened up a doorway of sin that weekend. I was a young Christian, and without going into the detail and without giving any glory to the past days, I did something not great that weekend. I sinned terribly. And God had to teach me something of the power of the spiritual warfare, the power of what's happening actually behind the scenes. Can I tell you why there's so many impotent Christians? It's because they don't have a doorway. They've got a highway like this of sin. And understand this, God has on many fronts. Can God do everything? No, he can't. He cannot repent for you, my friend. He cannot make you love your wife. He cannot make you love your husband. You see, God in his incredible sovereignty has limited himself on some things, and he will never repent for you. You must respond to the gospel. But he's made everything possible for you to be saved. Absolute exclusivity, absolute inclusivity at once. How is it that a God can be absolutely infinitely inclusive and absolutely infinitely exclusive? It's very simple. For God so loved the ethnos, the world, he gave his one and only Son. There is only one way for man to go to heaven. And that one man died for the world. Inclusive, exclusive. It's incredible. And that weekend, things happened. And I remember the enemy got into bed and he literally took me by my throat and he shoved me into the bed like this. Gripped, strangling me. No amount of head knowledge, no amount of theology, no amount of finances, money, earthly wisdom, nothing could have helped me in that situation. I was completely overpowered. Demonic force is way stronger than human force. If it hasn't happened, just take it from me. Okay. The only thing I could get out of the side of my mouth was, Jesus. The only person that I could call upon, the only name that came to my understanding was the name Jesus. I've never seen someone run out of a room that fast. Just because of a name, Jesus. You can go past people who are demonically possessed, scream Allah, scream Buddha, Shinto, whatever. Nothing happens. You go past and you say, Jesus. Why? They may not have known me, but they know Jesus. See, folk, I want to ask you, how well do we know this Jesus? Spiritual warfare is an incredibly massive, beautiful topic, yet not spoken a lot in the church. You know why? Because most Christians want to rather apply the ostrich theology. They make a silent agreement with the devil. I won't annoy you, Don't touch my family. Don't touch my money. Don't touch my finances. Don't touch anything. I won't aggravate. Or the ostrich thing is, I'll just put my head in the ground and just believe that it's kumbaya. Let's meet every Sunday. Hold thumbs for the week. Come next Sunday. Let me tell you, that is not what you have been called to. You may think, but I'm too scared to even pick up the phone to speak publicly at reception. How am I supposed to take on this thing of darkness? But let me tell you this. It's never going to be about you. It's never going to be about your strength. Jesus says, don't delight in your strength. Don't delight in your finances. Don't delight in your wisdom. Delight in one thing, that you know me. Jeremiah says that. Don't boast in your strength, guys. Don't boast in beauty. Don't boast in intellect. Don't boast in any of that. The only thing that we get the privilege to boast on is, do you know me? And that Hebrew word is, do you know me? It's the word of intimacy. Do you know me? There are many Christians, I believe, will get to heaven because of grace, because of the cross, but they never knew him. There is a thing of that inner chamber. There is that place of the inner bridegroom's chamber where the 10 virgins, Tony had it this morning, I loved it. How is it that 10 virgins, 5 are wise, 5 are foolish? Notice the Bible doesn't talk about 5 were unsaved. It says they were foolish. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Why? Because they never carried, they never prepared, they never carried the anointing. They never carried the Spirit. They never carried intimacy. So what happened is when the bridegroom came, the 5 that were wise, their lamps were burning. Why? Because they could see him then. Think about a lamp. If you're in the dark days there and I brought no lamp, could the bridegroom see you? No. But if I've got a lamp, the bridegroom comes, he sees me. And he says, come. Into where? Into the wedding feast. Understand, this is not about salvation. There are many foolish Christians who will go to heaven, just proving again the grace, the mercy, the scandalous gospel that God became man, emptied himself of divinity. It's the biggest recorded downgrade in history. God became man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death and death on a cross. And he took on the image of a sinful man. He himself was without sin, but he became and made in human likeness. Therefore, the propensity to sin was there. And yet this Jesus lived a life of total sinless perfection, showing us what life looks like with a Father unbroken. Amen? You ready for warfare? All right. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 6, please. So, like with sex, like with money, those are not the hot topics of the 21st century church. When we start talking about marriage and sex, and we start talking about finances, it's amazing those two topics are just not so celebrated in the church. And there's another one that's not really spoken about, is warfare, because again, if I don't see it, it's not there. But everything of the unseen realm is there, just the natural eye cannot see it. But it's there. And we are called to rule and reign. Right, Ephesians 6 says here, verses 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Wow. For our struggle is not against blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Your different versions may have different names on there, but I'm going to unpack those names a little bit tonight. Therefore, full armor of God. Does your Bible say that if the day of evil comes, what does yours say? When. When the day of evil comes. Not a question of if it's coming. It's when it comes. Okay, this is key. Ostrich theory won't work there. Okay. You may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Christians, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let me say this, warfare is really contending for people. Warfare is contending for your father, for your mother, for your brothers, for your sisters, whoever in your work, contending. What are we praying first of all? That the mind will be opened. Remember, Corinthians says this, that Satan, the god of this age, has blinded. Please do not be upset when you see a heathen, when you see a rapist, when you see a murderer, when you see a fraudster. Don't be surprised. Being upset is fine because there's emotion, but don't be surprised he is blinded to the things of heaven. You may even say, but surely his conscience. No, the Bible says consciences have been seared. He is blinded to the things of heaven. He's blinded to what is righteous. He's blinded to what is good. That's why a fraudster feels that he's done good when he only defrauds you for 100 million. Then it's been like an act of charity. It's an act of grace. See, so his measure of grace is how much does he defraud you? See, guys, God judges sin and it's equal. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Do you know that you were designed to live in glory? Did you know that? Theologically, maybe you've never understood, and this is why I love these evening meetings, because these are more about training and upskilling and equipping. But go read John. You were designed to live in his glory. Jesus says in John 17, Father, I want them to have the same glory I had with you. You're designed to live in glory. And that's why Romans says, it says, all have fallen short of what? There was a barometer, there was a line of glory. We have all fallen short of it. Therefore, judgment comes in. You were designed to live in glory. Now in Jesus Christ, he prays, let them have my glory. Isn't that incredible? Remember this, if we are co-heirs with Christ, if we are brothers, if we are co-heir, what he inherits, we inherit. I find it amazing. The most unselfish person is saying, come, sit on my throne. Do you know that you'll sit for those who are victorious? And go read the seven letters of warfare. Go read the seven letters of living in this life. Every one of those letters ends with this, if you will overcome. If you'll be victorious. Do you know this? Those who are victorious, not saved by grace, making it into heaven with literally their bums on fire, because that's what 1 Corinthians 3 talks about. Do you know that? That because of his grace, it is so incredible, but grace and salvation is completely different from inheritance. That you can lose your inheritance, that it can be squandered, and it can be literally, as Corinthians tells us, that whatever you do, it's going to be tested by fire and revealed by fire. So everything I've done in the flesh, everything I've done with motives to please man, everything I've done with selfish motives, what's going to happen? And here's the glorious thing, is it's going to stand before a holy God. And his light and fire will reveal everything. It will reveal the substance. Was it of faith? Or was it of the flesh? And if it was of the flesh, it will be consumed. But I myself will be saved. But let me say this. That's not how God's called us to live. He's called us to live victoriously. Amen. So Tony, the Bible says, if you are victorious, do you know? He'll say, come sit on my throne. You will sit on the throne of Jesus Christ to those who are victorious. I mean, I'm kind of thinking, because this is where my mind goes. How big is that throne? To be able to sit on that throne and fish down the river. So guys, to encourage you, we've been called to live victoriously. Let's go on here. Now notice this, verses 10 says, finally. What is the finally about? What he's gone through, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, he's spoken about where we're seated, he's spoken about marriages, he's spoken about children, he's spoken about workers working for us and workers both ways, spoken about the promise to the Gentiles and the wonderful plan. He's done all of this, and the book of Ephesians is the pinnacle of Paul's writing. In fact, they say it's the pinnacle of all these 13 letters. This was the creme de la creme. Because in 6 chapters, it wraps up everything of salvation. Family, worker, gospel, Gentile, Jew, demonic, all this. Verses 10 says, finally, so after all of this, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Here's an interesting thing. Verses 1, chapter 1 of Ephesians says, his incomparable great power for us who believe. There's the condition. Do you believe in his power? Let me say this. Power is in the, as an example, is in the wall plugs. You may not believe in it and you may never access it. But the power is there. But if you go put your hands into that socket, you will know what power feels like. Then you will understand and you will believe that Eskim is on. And it's good. You see, thing is, power is there. But if you don't believe, as a chapter 19 says, his incomparable great power for us who believe. Guys, there are many Christians who are sitting in church who do not believe in the power of God. They will believe in the salvation. They'll believe in the cross and they'll believe the blood is over their life, but they will not believe that resurrection power lives within them. So they believe that the miracles are not for them. They believe the life of the supernatural is not for them. But this is not just about Jesus dying on a cross. This is about him being raised with resurrection power. That's the Ephesians text. For the incomparable great power for us who believe. That is in your inheritance. Do you know that? Do you know that's why Christ died on the cross? That you would have the fullness of salvation. And part of that fullness is the resurrection power of heaven. Folk, for too long we've sat at the cross. Do you know that? I'm a dreadful sinner, saved by grace. Oh, I've done this again. Back to the cross. This penance. You know how many Christians I meet who believe that penance actually, they don't say it exists, but they believe in their heart there's a penance. They've got to beat themselves. They've got to do something that they must feel the penalty. No, guys. It's the greatest insult to the cross of Jesus. When Jesus says it is finished, past, present, and future, it is finished. There is no shame. There is no guilt. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let it be preached tonight. If you're outside of Christ, condemnation sits upon you. It's upon you. It's the Adamic nature, the Adamic headship. But if you're in Christ, you have no condemnation. Ephesians 1:21 tells us, interesting thing, where Jesus is seated. I'm not going to go through those verses. Jesus is seated. Where is Jesus seated? Ephesians tells us he's seated right hand of the Father. Notice this key words. Far above. How far is far? So what is far above? What's that distance? Especially when you're talking light years. Then we want to try to quantify that. Not just far above. Not just far. Far above. All rule, all authorities in the heavenly realms. Notice that word heavenly realms. Okay? We're going to unpack that. Then verses, chapter 2, verses 6 is where you are seated. Make a note of that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 is where Jesus is seated. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 is where you are seated. Right hand of the Father. Right hand of Jesus. If Jesus is far above all rule and authority, obviously, we're seated with him. We're not above him, but we are reigning with him. Do you understand that? There are too many people that are scared of the onyoka. There are too many people that are scared of a snake. It's amazing how that animals, instinctively we run from that snake. The church for too long has been scared of a snake. Luke chapter 10 says this, that we are to trample upon every snake and scorpion, and we are to overcome all the power of the devil. But guys, the moment you try to take that strength on yourself, you're heading for a crash. You overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Your testimony has potent power because as you testify, faith is released. And what does faith do when it's released? It releases the kingdom in power. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Verses 3:10 tells us the purpose of the church. So it's where we are seated. Now, what is the purpose on the church? The Bible says this, that it's through there's manifold wisdom. The intent was now through the church. The manifold wisdom of God will be made known to where? The rulers and the heavenlies. Folk, you know what I love? Just look around, look at each other. Everyone look at each other. Okay? It's like you think, red shirt, green shirt, blue shirt. Look, can I tell you something of incredible truth and power here? God's wisdom was that now through this church, in our different color clothes and our different backgrounds and our different races and our different languages, it's through this church, through every church, the wisdom of God would be made known to the demonic. What happens when, guys, I trust that we fill this place. Next week, we need another 20 people here. You must understand, you're not gathering for the sake of filling another meeting, filling another diary. You're meeting to go, wow, manifest God's wisdom. Devil, angels, look at it, because here we come, Monday morning. This is not a little meeting to hype each other up. It is through the church. God says, I will display my wisdom. Devil, watch what I do with people. Powerful. You're not meeting here by chance. We're allowing the wisdom of God to break in. Are we all together? It says this, go with me please, verses 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Your boss is not your enemy. Hey, Sinka, I'm not your enemy. He's not my enemy. You're not my enemy, guys. If I upset you one day, I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. Even the worst policeman that just doesn't see what you see, and he still proceeds to give a fine, he's not the enemy. Our battle's not against human beings. Understand, human beings are used by the devil. But that's why Jesus could look at Peter, absolutely love Peter, and say, Satan, get behind me. Why? Loves this man, and right behind, he sees the work of Satan. See, Jesus goes like this. You know when Jesus said, Satan, get behind me? See, what was he seeing? I don't know if you understood that picture. Peter's in his heart, no, no, you're not going to go to the cross. I love you, I love you. In fact, you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel, because kind of like that's what we're waiting for. And he looks behind Peter, and he goes, Satan, get behind me. You have the thoughts of man. I'm going to follow my father. Please understand that someone who could even mean well or not well, behind them is a spiritual force. Don't take offense. Offense has to be taken. Okay. It has to be taken. You can't give offense. Because when a person is overcome and never takes the offense, he can never be offended. And Jesus is a perfect example. He offended people, and they took the offense. But what happened was he revealed in the heart what is in them, and that's why they took the offense. Because normally, it's generally true. Cool, let's keep going. All right, so what is a ruler? Ruler, principality. Does your Bible say principality? Okay, so let me help you. So this is a bit of a teaching time. In heaven, there are various levels of authority, number one. Number two, there are different levels of ministry and service. Gabriel was the angel of message. Okay? Michael was the warfaring angel. He's the oak that gave Satan a hiding. Okay? So I don't know if you know this, that God buried Moses. Did you know that? No man has ever buried Moses. And Michael and Satan was disputing for the body with Michael. Something profound there. But anyway, I'm not going to worry about that. That's a whole different topic. But Gabriel met Mary. Gabriel met Elizabeth. Well, not Elizabeth, but Elizabeth's husband. He brought message. He was the archangel of the ministry of message. In other words, the proclamation of the coming kingdom. What does heaven say and what's going to be? Michael is known as the warfaring angel. He's a guy that you don't pick a fight with. You're going to lose. But amazing, this angel can't even look upon the face of Jesus. You're going to see Michael just now, how that works. Ruler, principality, municipality. So what that is Paul's now talking about a realm, a region, actually a demographic region. Angels and demons have been assigned geographical areas and zones. Sandy and Tony will confirm, you leave Rwanda. You're flying in Rwanda and the favor of heaven. It's incredible. As you step 1 kilometer over the river into the DRC Congo, the spirit of oppression, astronomical. So there you have an example of principality, a jurisdiction that he's been given, or let's not get female male, but the point is a jurisdiction of an area to demonically control. This is different from spirits. So let me, you're all together, are you okay? Yeah, all right. It can be a bit heavy, but we need to unpack this as Christians. Daniel chapter 10, please. Daniel chapter 10, verses 7. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were there with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. Quick little note. People can be with you. They cannot encounter the same thing you encounter. They are terrified. They don't see what you see, but you've seen something different. Okay. So they hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Look at this. Then I heard him speaking. Listen to this. And as I listened, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. The pre-incarnate Christ was there, and he spoke. What happens with Ezekiel? What happens with John, Peter, and James on the transfiguration? What happened? They fell face down. Okay. Look what happens here. A hand touched me. Now, this is the angel now. There's a change. There's a shift. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I've been sent to you. And when he said this, I stood up trembling. Notice this. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain and humble yourself before God, your words were heard and I've come in response. Let me stop there for a second. Spiritual warfare is not a one-hit wonder. You don't pray once, #done. Doesn't work. Spiritual warfare is an ongoing. Daniel was in his closet, on his face, warfaring. Notice this. The angel says, from the first day. No, in other words, Daniel day one, Daniel day two, three, four. He wasn't seeing anything. Only later did he have an insight into what was happening in the supernatural realm. Day one, day two, day three. He says, after day 21, look at this. Let's continue. First of all, pray and humble yourself. Notice that. Since the day you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, two key ingredients for spiritual warfare. Humble yourself and allow the wisdom of God to fill you. Your words were heard and I've come in response. But the prince of Persian kingdom, notice that word, prince of the Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Notice that. Look at the warfare here. Here you have an unfallen angel. So how it works is this. We're on planet Earth, heaven, throne room. It's called the third heaven. In between is the second heaven. It's called the realm of the prince of the air. So if you want to know where Satan and the demons live, The principalities, it's called the second heaven. And that's why in Ephesians, Satan's called the prince of the air. That's where he sits. First heaven is the stars, the cloud, what we see. Okay. So you've got to understand in Hebrew, when it says the heavens, you've got to know which heavens he's referring to. Okay. They're praying. This man humbles himself, seeks God for wisdom. The prayers come up like this. Notice, prayers go, can't be stopped. Devil cannot stop the prayers coming into heaven. Except Peter, husbands, if you treat your wives poorly, if you are harsh with them, there's a bronze ceiling. God will not hear your prayer. That's a good morning encouragement for Monday. Okay? It's in Peter. Very important. Men, if you will not look after your wife and treat them as a co-heir with you, your prayers are silent before God. Okay. That's a separate topic. Lamb, we're starting Lamb on the 17th of July. Love after marriage. Come and talk to us later. It's a great course we're doing here. Right, cool. Here, prayers up through second heaven, third heaven. Revelations, the prayers come up like incense. God smells it. It's like, oh, these are full of faith. Angels are released. Come through. Notice this. This first angel, unfallen angel, was resisted for how many days? An unfallen angel was resisted by a fallen angel. Why? It's about hierarchical authority and power. This angel was an angel called an angel of prayer or messenger angel. The prince of Persia, principality. Far stronger angel. Resisted for 21 days. There was a warfare. Guys, understand this. When you are praying, and you are praying, and you are praying, Paul says, do not give up praying. You don't know what's happening here. You don't. Pray until there's a breakthrough. And notice this. Continue. Jeez, time runs away. But I do talk a lot. Then Michael, one of the chief princes. Notice, one of. Say one of. Notice this, one of the chief. One of the chief. All we really talk about is the three archangels. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer is Satan, devil. He was the archangel of worship. He always wanted to be worshipped. Funny enough, he was the archangel of worship. And he said, no, 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 I want to be worshipped, not God. I'm tired of him being worshipped. I want to be God and worshipped. So longest recorded bungee jump as he was thrown out of heaven. Here's the thing. There's only really two other angels we hear of, is Michael and Gabriel. But notice this, one of the chief princes. I believe that from a theological understanding. I believe as much as there's principalities over America of demonic construction, I believe there are principalities of angelic hosts over the nation. Guys, this is not Sunday school, Jonah and the whale. When you start getting into this stuff, understand it is incredibly meaty. There needs to be an understanding and there needs to be a purity. The moment you start diving into this thing of an understanding of the demonic realm and the spiritual realm, please understand purity is absolutely key. Okay, it's key. Right, anyway, so Michael, one of the guys, came and basically gave the guy a hiding. But I take such encouragement from that. You know why? Because after this resisting for 21 days, Daniel keeps praying. Breakthrough comes, Michael comes, gives the guy a hiding, and then the angel comes through. To Daniel. It says, I want you to know, from the day you set your mind to pray, I was sent. But there was a battle. Michael came through. Because why? Actually, this Michael is the archangel of warfare for Israel, the nation of Israel. He is the warfaring angel. You know, when you start hearing about the Muslim Arabs turn around and say, this God of this Jehovah, this God of Israel, he says we fire rockets, but they start turning on their own. Who do you think is doing that? It's God sending Michael, the warfaring angels, because why? He oversights Israel. Very encouraging. And notice this, guys. This is the most humbling thing. We never worship angels. Never. They are there to serve those who will inherit salvation. Let me tell you, if Michael walked into the room now, every one of us would hit the deck. How humbling to know that Jesus says, no, no, you're going to serve my people. You're going to serve my people. But if Jesus walked here, that will be the end of the planet. It literally would disintegrate under his glory. Wow, we haven't got past the first one. Let's keep going. Powers. Talks about principalities, powers. Powers are what? Angels, for example, the angel of death. You know, in the Old Testament, the angel of death, darkness. Listen to the scripture that God said over Paul. He says, to whom I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan. Understand, there's the power of darkness, the spirit that is of disobedience. There's a manifesting blanket of power. Notice this, no authority. One of the things you need to understand with spiritual warfare, Satan has no authority. Can I say that again? He has no authority. Jesus says, I have all authority now, heaven and on earth. How you arm a disarmed devil is you believe the lies. You come into agreement. You give the devil a foothold. If you give the devil a foothold, you now allow an agreement for him to enter. Must understand this. And that weekend, remember I told you about that weekend, that was a very tough weekend for me. The next night, I was very nervous to get into my bed. Very nervous. And as I stood there, as I got into bed, this incredible angel walked in like this. His arms were like this. Jet black hair, long, beautiful man. And all I saw is from his torso up, and he had armor on. He looked at me. It was the most incredible thing. And he didn't say a thing to me. His message was the face. And he just said, my son, you're going to be victorious. But there's a few things you're going to have to learn. You gave Satan a foothold. You must understand how it works in the realm. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, don't even give him a foothold. Greatest way you give a foothold into your family, are you ready for this? Husband and wife, go to bed angry. Go to bed angry. There's a little gap. Notice this, when you go to bed angry and you wake up in the morning, what happens to you in the morning? You're angry? You're bitter? You see, you don't know what's happening to your heart, man, as you're lying for the next 8 hours sleeping. The Bible actually says, David says, whilst I sleep, my spirit man is talking. You're judging, in fact, you're judging my heart. The motives of my heart are getting weighed even while I sleep. Husbands, wives, close that gap. Quickly, before you go to bed. On that. So that's a little bit of power, the different things of power, spiritual forces. Notice this. Spirits are different. So you've got principality, jurisdiction. You've got power, power of darkness, power of the angel of death. Those are called manifesting power of evil, the spirit realm. Then you've got spirits. You can be thoroughly born again and saved, but then you've got a spirit of lust, spirit of suicide, spirit of prostitution. The Bible talks about a spirit of prostitution, a spirit of anger, a spirit of rage, whatever it is. That is a spirit that is infiltrating. You can be thoroughly born again, saved, and yet you can have a spirit oppressing you. Remember this, you have to come into agreement. Jesus disarmed the devil on the cross, Colossians. You know that? How do you rearm a disarmed devil? You come into agreement with him. Temptation will never stop. This side of eternity, you will be tempted. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Every single one of you will be tested every day in one of those three areas. Attribute any sin will be to the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Guaranteed. That will never stop because if Jesus was tempted, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be tempted. You agree? Temptation is not the sin, my friend. Temptation becomes the sin when I come into agreement with it. Then I empower a disarmed devil. I've given him a position of power. His foot's got him between the door. You know when he tries to slam a door and he put the foot there? Now the door's a little bit open. That's all you need. But here's the thing. We're not going to live under fear, but we must understand why many Christians do not live in the victorious life is because they're making agreements. Satan can never touch your spirit, man. Once you're saved, you're saved. Holy Spirit lives there, and that's no battle for Satan. He can't even remotely get in. But your soul man, he will go for your mind, your will, your emotions. Because here's the key thing. Look at the Look at the end of Timothy with Hymenaeus when Paul turns around and says, they have shipwrecked their faith. You can be a sailor, you can be a child of God, and yet your faith is shipwrecked. Why? Because of greed. Because of the spirit of greed. So here's the key thing. Very simple. If there's an area that you know you've let in, we're not going to do it tonight because I believe this can be done with husband and wife at home. If there's an area, Chris is angry with Tracy. Never is. I never see him, Chris and Tracy, ever angry. But let's use them as an example. Let's say Chris is carrying a spirit of resentment or a bitterness towards Tracy. The problem is this. What happens, like with water in a crack, day one, day two, year one, year two, and suddenly the rock comes crashing down. Everyone goes, what happened? Just bit by bit. That's how sin works. One degree, one degree, one degree. If Satan came up to Adam and said, I'm the devil. I desire complete destruction for you. You're going to be obliterated. Take of the fruit. Would they have done it? One degree of distorting the truth. And then before you know it, you're gone. So here's the thing. Confess to one another. Husband, wife, friend, brother, sister, whatever. I'm struggling in this area. I'm carrying a spirit of anger, a spirit of lust. I'm struggling. I'm carrying a spirit of hatred. I'm carrying a spirit of racism. I'm carrying a spirit of whatever. Whatever it is, confess. Why? The moment light comes into dark, the power or the secrecy evaporates. Satan cannot work in light. So the moment you bring light on, what happens is the secret sin is exposed. Healing comes. That's why James says, confess and that man will be healed.